If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. And if you will, Wayne, just highlight the 24th verse of that 10th chapter with you. Joshua chapter 10, verse 24. And it came to pass that when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings, that they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your love, your mercy. We ask, God, you'd reach down and touch this house with the power and the grace of your holy love. God, move us nearer to you tonight and give us victory, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. How many of you is hot? Brother, would you drop that thing down behind you? I got the cover off of it. Put it down on about 60 and we'll get it good and cool in here. Glory. Cool folks will shout. They'll try to stay warm. Glory. Amen. I turned it up because it was cold and then it got hot because it ain't moving air around. It's cool in here, but the air is stagnant. I want to talk to you tonight for just a few moments on a subject I'd like to entitle, Just Put Your Foot on It. Gibeon was a great city, but now Gibeon was a threat to the kings of the Amorites because it had chosen the Lord's side. The leaders of the city of Gibeon recognized that God was with Joshua and the children of Israel, and so they come into covenant with Joshua and the children of Israel. And as soon as they did so, all hell broke loose against them. But the good news is that by choosing God's side, all heaven came to help them. Amen. Glory. Joshua chapter 10, verse 1. Now it came to pass that when Adonai Zadok, which simply means the Lord of righteousness, King of Jerusalem. Amen. Now, church, let me point something out to you, just so you catch. These are titles. These are not the men's names. His name was not Adonai Zadok when he was born. Ain't nobody would the Lord name their child Lord anything. Hello? And the word Zadok simply means righteousness, but he rules over Jerusalem. Anybody know somebody else that ruled Jerusalem? His name was called Melchizedek, which was the king of righteousness. Hello? So now the guy following him holds the same title. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Of course, he was called Melchizedek, king of Salem, which means peace. So he was a king of righteousness, king of peace, and he was a foreshadowing of Christ who would be what? The king of righteousness and the king of peace. Glory. Anyway, this king turns around. Notice what he said. Had he heard now Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, and that he had done to Jericho and her king. So he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. Then they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city and one of the royal cities. And because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty men. Wherefore Adonai Zadok, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jamath, and unto Japrah, who was king of Lachish, and unto Deborah, king of Eglon, saying, come up unto me and help me that we might smite Gibeon. For it is be made peace with Joshua and the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jamath, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up. And they and all their host and encamped against Gibeon and made war against them. And the men of Gibeon went unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servant. Come unto us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So just as they make a peace with God and sign a treaty with Joshua, amen, all of a sudden everything comes loose on them. All the other kings say, wait a minute. Now, y'all may not understand, but Joshua is in the midst of taking the promised land from these people. Glory. He's wiped out Jericho. He's took out Ai. And all of a sudden they're going, wait a minute. Joshua's already done them cities without help. Now he's got Gibeon on his side, and they got mighty men, and he's making their war better. So before they get together, we better go take Gibeon out. So all five of them come together and go against him. I want to tell you tonight, God told me to throw somebody tonight. Amen. The devil has been trying to throw some things at you. Things have been tough. I don't care if he's trying to throw the kitchen sink at you. You need to understand, just as when these men set a course to go against Gibeon, God began to move with Joshua and his men to come and help. And we need to understand that God is going to stay on our side. Could you say amen? The enemy may try to take us out, may try to do all he can to us, and he may win some battles, and we may get a little depressed, and we may have some problems. But I can tell you right now, I've read the last chapter of that book, and if I hang on, I'm winning the war, and I'm going to be an overcomer through the power of God. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. Joshua, the 7th verse. And so Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand, and there shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. Now notice, he gets a note from the king, said, get up here, they're attacking. And Joshua does a forced march from Gilgal to get there. Can I tell you tonight, the enemy may have you surrounded, but don't worry, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I read according to that book, there are 2/3 of the angels still on our side. He only got 1/3 with him. So we got them outnumbered 2-1. And if we hang on, the angels of the Lord are encamped around about those who love him and who are keeping his commandments. And as long as I am where I need to be with God, I don't have to worry about how bad the enemy's coming against me, because I've got a God who's going to come to my aid. Could you say amen? And it came to pass that they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Bethron. And the Lord cast down great stones from the heavens upon them in Azek, and they died. And there were more of them died from the hailstones than they did from the children of Israel slew with the sword. In other words, not only has Joshua got them, but they start to run. And now God says, hey, they're getting away. I told you not to let them go. And a hailstorm hits. I don't know if y'all understand this or not, but when it's hailing outside, don't go out. That is not a smart move. I remember they had a hailstorm in Coleman one time, and they had literally had to sell the cars off the lots at half a third of the money because those cars were beating so bad, them hailstones hitting them. I remember I saw one car, one of the guys was at a church I was preaching revival at that day. I got there that night after the hailstorm, and it looked like somebody took a ball peen hammer and went all the way around his car just knocking dents in his truck. He told me, he said, preacher, it was horrible. He said, it beat my truck all to pieces, busted 2 of the windows. I couldn't believe it. I went out there and saw it. I said, man, what did you do to God? He said, nothing, but I believe my boss ain't been paying his tithes. Glory. He said, I sat in my car parked by his. Glory. Now, that's a joke. Some of y'all going, hey, preacher. But the reality is, they were getting away from Israel, and God said, hey, I'll take them out. And notice what it said. God killed more with hailstones than Joshua and his men had killed in the battle. And notice this. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still upon Gibeon, thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, till the people had avenged themselves upon their enemy. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens and hasted not to go away about the whole day. Amen. Any of y'all ever read that, tried to figure out what the book of Jasher was? It's mentioned a couple times in the Bible. But if you go back and study Hebrew history, you'll find out it was an original song book. It was a song about all the victories that Israel had won. And it was what they sang from before they got all the Psalms. And it was the book of Jasher, the book of Psalms, the book of songs. Amen. Of victories. Amen. Come on, church, smile. And so he said, did we not sing about what happened? How the sun stood still in the sky? Amen. Now, church, let me just give you a little sight. The sun don't move. The earth twirls. What happened was Joshua said, "Sun, stand still." And God said, and the whole earth stood still. Amen. Until they got through fighting, and then God said, "Okay." And it just went back to spinning. Glory. Some of y'all going, "Now, preacher, it's in the book." Glory. I just don't see how that could happen. Really. Explain to me how a dude can walk on water, but it's in that book. Explain to me how a guy can take rocks and kill a warrior, but it's in that book. See, I don't try to explain what happened. I just read and say, glory, if it happened then, God needs to, it can happen now. And what we've got to realize is the battle is not ours. Hello? See, if we keep trying to fight the devil, we're never going to win. I can't overcome the devil then myself. He is a mighty archangel with power and authority. But if I don't fight him, but I step back and tell my big brother, "Look, this dude's bothering me. I need you to take care of him." Amen. Then I understand that God is greater than anything Satan could throw at me. And I need to understand, listen, Jehoshaphat's praying. The enemies come against him. And notice what it tells 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Amen. He said, "Hearken all ye Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Glory. Joshua understood the God I serve is going to help me in this battle. And notice this in the 15th verse, and Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp of Gilgal. But these five kings fled, and they hid themselves in the caves at Makeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, "The five kings have found the cave of Makeda." And Joshua said, "Roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after the enemy, and smite the hindermost of them, and suffer them not to enter their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand." Amen. Church, we got to understand something. When you're in a battle, if you start to get the victory, you don't quit till the battle's over. One of the greatest problems we got in America is folks get a little bit happy and they get excited because they've done something and they think they've got a good thing. I remember watching a movie one time. This guy was fighting somebody he wasn't supposed to whoop, and he hit him, and the guy fell, and he was, I knocked him out, and he got to go over and beat daylights out of him. Why? Because all he did was got in a lucky punch. And we got folks that's been trying to overcome things in your life. And the minute you think you got it taken care of, you stop praying, you stop reading the Bible, you stop doing the things that's going to give you victory. And the next thing you know, what was there has come back with a greater vengeance than ever had. We need to understand what Joshua's trying to say. He told those men, lock those kings in, but don't let those people get away. God said, wipe them out. Follow them. Hit them from the rear. Tear them up. Don't let them get in hiding. And keep going till you smote them. Don't quit to the enemy is defeated. And it came to pass that when Joshua, the children of Israel, had made an end of staying them with a great slaughter till they were consumed, that the rest which remained to them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp of Joshua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. In other words, they wiped them out so bad, ain't even nobody going to say that about them no more. Hello? Church, I don't know about y'all, but I'd like to get the kind of victories where demons are going, don't even mention his name no more. We don't know nothing about that guy. Come on, church. My Bible said he's looking for those he may devour. If I get close enough to God, I'm not edible. I want to be like one guy said, I want to be so bad that when he tells the demons, go get him, I say, you go yourself. We done went over that one time. We ain't fooling with him no more. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, you think demons would say that? I don't think demons will attack somebody that stays prayed up and on fire. Amen. Amen. I got a friend, got a song. It's called Army of the Lord. One of the verses says, my alarm clock rings and the demons scream, oh, Lord, he's up again. Glory, I want that to be me. I want to be so afraid of me, they're over there singing Rockabye Baby when I go to bed, still trying to keep me awake because they're afraid of what I'm going to think about while I'm up. Glory, come on, church. Amen. I want pictures of me all over hell, armed and dangerous, approach with caution. Amen. Not because I am who I am, but because of who I serve and who is in me, who is going to give me victory. Could you say amen? Glory. I came tonight to tell somebody something. God said it's time for you to put your foot on it. 24th verse, it came to pass when they brought those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men with war which were with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near, put their feet upon the neck. I don't know, y'all, y'all ever had somebody do something like that to you? And you're on the ground, they got their foot on your neck. You can't breathe, you can't move. You're not going to fight with them much because it hurts too bad. You just, you're very submissive. And Joshua said to them, fear not, nor be dismayed, for strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do all your enemies against whom ye fight. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? As a way of showing these people what kind of victory they had, Joshua said, the very men you used to fear, captains, put your foot on their neck, because now they are at your feet and they're there for your bidding. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm here to tell somebody tonight, you fixing to change positions. Satan's been whooping on you a while. It's time for you to turn the tables. It's time for you to realize God's ready for you to start fighting back with prayer and fasting and seeking his face. And when you do, your disappointment, your confusion, your distress, all the things that are going wrong in your life are going to turn around. And some of you need to just stand up and put your foot on it and say, hey, I got victory in God, and I'm overcoming in the power of his grace. Oh. Tonight the tables are turning. The position is changing. You're going to put your foot on it. Amen. When you put your foot on it, it means you're in charge. It means that you're on top of it. It means that you're in control. Amen. I don't know what it is that's got you going down tonight, and I don't need to know. You ever seen them preach, what's going on with you? Like they could do something about it. They ain't no different from me. I got to get God to help me or I'm in trouble. Come on, church. Of course, you know, you tell them, and then they got to stand there and go. It's like you gave them a headache when you told them what was wrong. Oh, of course, then they're going to try and knock you in the middle of next week. Then you got to ask the question, was it God or his hand? Hello? Had a guy over in Gordo one night, he's knocking people all over the place. He come running up to me, and I sat there, and he walked up. He said, brother, what's wrong with you? And I leaned up, and I said something to him, and he said, in the name of Jesus, and walked on. Guy next to me said, what'd you say to him? I said, I told him if he hit me, I'd go hit him back. Glory. He prayed for me all he wants to, but he was just knocking people crazy, and they'd hit the floor and look at him like, what happened? Hello? I don't know what it is tonight. These five kings should represent anything. Financial problems, marital problems, physical problems, spiritual problems. It could represent debt. It could be sickness. It could even be a personal problem. An addiction, alcohol, nicotine, pornography, gambling, lying, whatever it is. I got a God tonight that said if you'll stand up and be willing to change positions and put your foot on it, I got a power that'll set you free and deliver you tonight. Could you say amen? Romans 16:20. Notice what it said. And God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. In other words, God said, it don't take me long to put him under your feet. Isn't that what he's been telling us all along? Go back to Genesis. He said, I shall put enmity between thee and the seed of a woman. And that seed is going to bruise your head. And all you're going to be able to do is bruise his heel. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, the battle is God's. God's already won the victory. All I got to do is get in the battle line, put my foot on top of it, and say, I've got victory in Jesus Christ. And in the name of God, I am more than conqueror through him who hath loved me. And I know that in his power, I am more than an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. And because of that, I've got victory tonight. Could you say amen? From God's perspective, the devil's already defeated. Jesus stripped him of his authority and power, Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. You say, what are you talking about? God's already taken him out. But to believe the devil has no power, that he's weak and helpless, is to make a tragic mistake. Because the devil's still alive. He still has authority. Hello? And the guy tell me one time, I want to just walk up and grab a devil by his chin whiskers and slap him. I said, go ahead. I don't want to get anywhere near him. Hello? Oh, some of y'all sitting there say, preacher, you're crazy. Is there anything wrong with that? Look, I'm not afraid of the devil because I know God has power in me, but I'm not stupid enough to walk up and grab him by the chin whiskers and say, hey, let's get it on because he'll mess me up. As long as I stay in my hedge, he can't get to me. Come on, church, that's good preaching. Paul's trying to tell you there's a turnaround coming. God's getting ready to turn your existence around. He's getting ready to turn everything upside down. He's ready to take the defeats of your life and give you victory so you can leave here shouting about the victory of God. Could I say here an amen? Amen. I want more than revelation of how Jesus defeated the devil. I want the devil under my feet. Hello? Joshua said to the captains, come near, put your foot on their necks. This was to demonstrate the victory was real and it was personal. The enemy was under their feet. Joshua said to those men, today is your day. Instead of running from it, crying out about it, even praying about it, today you're going to put your foot on it. And when you do, you're going to choke the life out of it. Hallelujah. Many times we're waiting on God to move in a great supernatural way to swipe out and wipe out the enemies. But the truth is, to a large degree, God has done everything he's going to do already. He's given us his word, his name, his blood, his spirit, his power, and the ability to praise God and told us to put on the armor of God. All we got to do is overcome the enemy. See, the problem is we don't understand spiritual warfare. I've had people come to me and they see demons under every rock. Hello? I've had people talk about, well, yeah, I'm going to go over and just throw the demons out. Person like that, you need to leave alone. That's like when they get in the army and you get some guy keeps talking about how brave he is and how wonderful he is. He'll get people killed because he'll do something stupid and people get killed trying to get him out of it. Amen. So what are you talking about? If I get the proper ability to fight, victory is guaranteed. Notice this, 2 Corinthians 10. For we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling you that the power you have and the authority you have and the weapons you have the ability to give you victory if you've put them in your life and understand I am not a conqueror through me, but I'm a conqueror through God. And instead of me complaining about it all the time, wanting everybody to feel sorry for me, I'm ready to stand up, put my foot on it and say it's over with. I'm fixing to walk on. I want another war. Come on, church. Lord. Say, well, preacher, now I'm just not sure we can do that. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give to you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Glory. He said, what? I'm going to give you power to step on the very things that could destroy you, but through the power of my ability, you're going to step on it, walk right by, and forget it ever existed. Amen. Glory. Now, if you turn to Mark chapter 14, you read it later. I'm going to give you the story. These men are in a boat. They're fighting against the wind. They're out in a boat trying to go to the other side because God told them to go to the other side. So next time some preacher said, if you're in the will of God, you won't ever have a problem, ask him about that. They were in the boat God put them in. Matter of fact, the Bible said he constrained them to get in it. And then he told them to go to the other side. They're doing exactly what he told them to do. And on the way, they hit a storm. And we're not talking about some little wave. They were about to go under. Fear had gripped them. They thought they were out. And the Bible even says they got mad or hardened their hearts against God. Read it. It's in the book of Mark. He thought he put them out there to die. Last time they saw him, he was back there with the people he'd fed. They didn't get no glory out of it, and they were upset because he told them to get in the boat and got to the other side. And he went up on the mountain praying for them, but they didn't realize that. The last they saw, he was walking away. You ever felt like God just left you somewhere? Huh? I mean, you're right there in the middle of something, you're waiting on a victory, and all of a sudden it's like, hey. You know, sometimes God doesn't have to be right there where you can feel him and see him to understand there's victory. I've told this story, but I'll never forget. There was a guy in high school. I'll take it back. He was in junior high. He never got out of the eighth grade. He finally got old enough to let him quit. But he was, back when I was in school, you had to be 19 to get out of high school. Didn't make no difference what grade you was in. He was 19 in the eighth grade. Y'all got to understand, the seventh grade, I was 4'11", weighed 75 pounds. But if any Rottweiler had had my temperament, you couldn't have leave the house. I was like a banty rooster. I didn't care. I'd fight anybody. I'd run my mouth. And inevitably, I got this guy mad at me. Hello? Y'all wouldn't believe that about me, but he told me I had to carry his books, and I told him I wasn't carrying his books. He reached over, slapped my books out of my hand, and I reached over and slapped him. Seemed like the thing to do at the time. I was sure glad there was a teacher close by. As he whooped me with two punches, one on that eye, one on that eye, and both eyes turned black. I looked like a raccoon. And you know, they suspended me for hitting his fist with my eyeballs. Told my daddy he had to bring me back to school the next day. And I had to go get registered in, and Dad told me, said, go on to class. And I'm like, Dad, that boy's locker ain't three lockers down from mine. I'm going to see him again. He's mad now because he got suspended, and he had to stay out of school a day, and he had to get back in school, and he ain't going to be happy. And I got down there, and sure enough, he walked over, and he's telling me how bad he's going to do me. And about that time, I seen his fist coming, and I heard a, and I thought, whoa, that was so hard, I didn't even feel it. And I opened my eyes, and my daddy's hand had caught his fist and stopped it dead still in the air. Because my daddy walked up behind me. I didn't know he was there. And he was standing holding that guy's fist, and he stepped between me and the guy, and he said, mark it, son. That's my boy. I care what you do to everybody else in the school, but you ever touch my son, I'll kill you. They'll body bag you. They'll bury you. I don't have a problem with it. I'll kill you. He turned and walked off. And I'm standing there, and I'm looking at the guy, and I'm watching. He's still here. He walks out the door, gets his car, goes home. But you know, his presence hadn't left because that dude took what my daddy said to be righteous. I even tried him. I'd knock his books out and say, you better quit. But he wouldn't hit me because he remembered. He walked over one day and said, I ought to just kill you, but I'm going to let you go. Because he understood my daddy was on my side. Come on, church. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? That helped me develop a mentality, and I got saved. God's on my side. And even though he may not be very present with me, Satan understands that's my child. You don't touch him. It's not his battle, it's mine. And the minute you lay hands on him, you're going to deal with me. And as long as I'm where I ought to be with God, I don't have to worry about Satan coming against me. He may attack me, but he cannot pull me down. He may depress me, but he cannot overtake me. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, are you sure? For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of God may be of God and not of man. But even though I'm pressed, I'm not torn apart. Though I'm knocked down, I'm not defeated. Though everything in my life may fall apart, there's still victory coming, long as I hold on to God. Why? Because I have the excellency of the presence and the power of God in me. Could you say amen? Glory. They're out there in the boat. The boat's about to go under. Some of you thought I lost my story. Glory. And all of a sudden, Peter's looking out across the water, and he sees somebody walking. Now, church, don't get excited. They weren't spiritual. They thought a ghost was coming to get them. Because you see, Navy people and shipmen had a theory that if you drowned, you went to Davy Jones' locker. That is a burial place for all sailors. And they thought when you were going, they'd somebody from the locker to lead you down. And they'd be ghosts on the water. And they actually thought they saw a ghost. And fear hit them. That's why Jesus, walking on the water, said, "Fear not, it is I." And about that time, Peter said, "Oh, look, young, the very thing that's about to destroy us, he's walking on it. He's overcome it. God, I want to do that. Come on, glory." Now, notice something, church. He didn't say, "Peter, come." He said, "Come." Peter was the only one got out of the boat and went. The rest of them's in the boat going, "You really don't want to do this." Hey, come on, church. You know what I'm talking about. You decide to do something spiritual, there'll be five Christians try to talk you out of it. Huh? I quit my job being an evangelist. First thing I got, "You better be a man. Go get your job back." I won't say who that was, but it's someone close to me. Glory. Spiritual person. I had preachers going, "Are you crazy?" A little bit. I thought it was after a while. I mean, I quit working a job selling stuff, went to work with her daddy driving nails. That wasn't real smart. But working with her daddy, I could get off to go preaching. I couldn't do it with the other job. And I made myself available. I remember one day I was talking to Clyde. I said, "You know, the greatest thing ever happened to me was going to work for you." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, it made me pray for revival like I never would doing anything else." Glory. I said, "Oh, God, give me revival. I don't want to drive nails next week." Glory. People kept telling me I shouldn't ought to do it. I'm going to tell you, son, people will try to advise you that you're doing the wrong thing, but you've got to understand, just like Peter did. He said, "Come, that means I can do it." And he climbed down out of the boat, and he walked on water till he started thinking about it. And church, sometimes what we think messes us up, but if we can get our mind off the things of this world and start thinking on the things of that world, then we can participate in what's happening over there. And when we become spiritual-minded, the power of God will move in our life. We can put our foot on the enemy and have a victory like we've never had before. Could you say, man? Glory. Listen, I got to hurry. Whatever you keep in the dark grows, intensifies, multiplies. It'll eventually bring you into bondage. And if you don't not deal with it, it can destroy you. There have been great men and women of God who were used in a mighty way, who have fallen, not because the enemy was more powerful than them, but because they covered up their problem, made excuses for it, and it grew until it took over their lives. Before you can put your foot on, you got to identify it. Recognize it for what it is and expose it. Get honest with God about it and hate it. Hello? You'll never quit drinking as long as you love drinking. Hello? You'll never quit lusting as long as you love lusting. You'll never quit overeating as long as you like eating. You'll never quit smoking as long as you like smoking. I've always told people, you can give them all the Nicorette you want to. If they don't want to quit, they're not going to. Hello? Never quit holding grudges as long as you love holding grudges. You'll never quit feeling sorry for yourself as long as you get some others to feel sorry for you. I could have left that off, but I didn't. You got to hate it. Psalms 139:21. I'm about to close. "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies." David was speaking of a hatred born out of a love for his God. And church, let me tell you something. Everything in your life that ought not be there will never leave your life till you love God enough to put it out. David said, "I hated them with a perfect hate." What's a perfect hate? I love God so much I hated everything that put me away from God. If it was going to separate me, my relationship with God, I hated it because it was what was keeping me from the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and the peace that pass all understanding. If I can hate it, I can get it out of my life. Could you say amen? My flesh may want it go in a particular direction. But if it's harmful to my relationship with God, then my spirit man has to hate it. Hello? You say, "Preacher, are you sure you know what you're talking about?" Joshua told those men, put your foot on it. It's time for you to have victory. This is not my victory, it's your victory. I didn't overcome them, you overcame them. And the God I serve is going to help you. And notice what he said. He said, we're going to show it to everybody. Notice what the Bible said. He then took those five kings, hung them up for everybody to see the victory that God had given him. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? He had it out there so people could see. Look what the Lord has done. Come on, church. Look what the Lord has done. Say, what are you talking about? That's what God wants us to do when God gives us victory. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? Let the whole world know God's given me victory. Come on, church. Amen. I'm not proud of what I was before I got saved, but I am proud of the fact that God reached into that mire of hell and pulled me out and turned my life around and made me who I am. And every opportunity I get, I'll tell somebody, hey, you may see me now, but 40 years ago, you wouldn't have had nothing to do with me, but I got a God that pulled me out. And look now at what God has done in my life. And if my God done it for me, he'll do it for you. And victory is yours if you'll let God loosen your life. Stand with me all over the house. I believe with all my life that tonight is a time for somebody to put your foot on it. And say, I've had enough. I want victory. I don't know what your problem is. I don't presume to know. I don't need to know. God knows what you've been fighting. God knows what you've been up against. But until you put your foot on it, you're not going to have real victory. Amen. But if you'll put your foot on that throat of that problem and say, I'm over you now. You no longer rule me. I've got victory. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God's moving in this house tonight. I believe there are people under the sound of my voice that you're here because God brought you here because you've been struggling spiritually, physically, financially. You need a miracle from God. I believe with all my heart that if you'll walk to this altar tonight, and turn it loose. I've got a God who said, when the enemy rushes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against it. I believe it's time for you to let the enemy know it's over. I'm going to find victory tonight. I'm going to get, oh, come on, church. Somebody needs to hear what I'm telling you tonight. You've been struggling long enough. It's time for you to make up your mind. Tonight's tonight. I'm fixing to get free because I want to turn my heart over to God so that God can use me like never before. And the only way I can do it is that I'm going to have to put my foot on some things.